Welcome to the New Generation Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Whether you're a regular or a first-time listener, we hope today's message fills you with hope and inspiration. NGC is a place where people can come together to grow in their faith, learn from one another, and support each other through life's challenges by living out the Word of God. We believe in sharing the love of Jesus in everything we do, and we're excited to bring that love to you through our podcast. Let's dive into today's message. We hope you enjoy.
The book of Luke in the gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, right there in Luke. And we're going to be in chapter 1. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to read verses 5 through 7. If you have it, just shout amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And it's on the screens as well, and you'll find this in the reading. It says, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the divisions of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. For a few minutes this morning, people of God, I want to speak with you on the subject, coming soon. Coming soon. Waiting for God's perfect timing. Waiting for God's perfect timing. As you take your seat this morning, give your neighbor a fist pound and tell them, I'm waiting on God's perfect timing. I'm waiting on God's perfect timing. Many of us have heard this phrase, coming soon, especially in the world context, because the world uses it in many different fashions. If there's a movie that has a sequel, they will build it up by ushering us to these words, coming soon. If there's a new iPhone, as if the iPhone you have doesn't do what the new one's going to do, they're going to build it up, and they're going to let you know all the new features that it has, and they're going to make it as if you cannot live unless you purchase this phone. And they use these words to get us in anticipation of what's coming. They simply say, coming soon. The car companies have figured this out as well. They want you to buy the new 2026. It's not even 2026, but they want you to buy the new 2026 vehicle that does a little more than the one that you currently have that you're still paying notes on. But they build it up because they want you to have it, and they use these two words, coming soon. And the world has perfected this. They have developed for us a platform or an appetite that we have to have what's not already out. That can become a distraction as people are lined up even before the doors are open to sell this particular product that has been coming so long. They camp out and they wait and they forego hunger and they forego comfort, all to participate in something that doesn't last long. God has a movie called Coming Soon to the Earth Near You. where Jesus Christ will break forth the clouds and he will come and the archangel will yell out and those in Christ will rise, dead in Christ will rise first. And those of us who left will be caught up together in the air to meet them in the Lord. Are you ready for the coming soon of the Lord? He's coming soon. The first advent of Jesus was greatly anticipated because there would be one who would come into the world who's born as a baby who would save the world from her sins. And it was great anticipation as it was prophesied even over there in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15. If you're taking notes, you can go back and chew the cud on that. But it was prophetically spoken that there would be a seed involved and a woman involved, and this seed would come supernaturally into the earth for the sole purpose of doing something that nobody has ever been able to do, and that is to save people from their sins. And as we travel and traverse through the Old Testament of the Bible, we learn many prophecies of the one to come. For example, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6, we see a prophecy of the baby who would be born in a manger who would come to take away the sins of the world. And not only Isaiah, but we see Micah in Micah chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. We can find even where this baby is going to be born in the city of Bethlehem. God was preparing us for what was coming soon. Somebody say coming soon. He was preparing us, and through generation, through generation, through generation, he did not come in those generations, but there was a sign hung amongst the prophets and their voices that there was one who was coming soon to take away the sins of the world. And then it happened. It happened. It was at the appointed time. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, and Jesus Christ was born of a woman by the name of Mary, a virgin girl who was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and she would give birth to the God-man. 100% God, 100% man. And oftentimes during this time of year, we dive right into Jesus, as we should. This is what this whole season is all about. You don't need to limit Jesus to 1 month a year. Let me just let you know that right now. Every day is a day where we want to celebrate Jesus. But amen. Go ahead and give him praise for that. But this particular time, we highlight or we bring to the world's attention that Jesus was born. He was born of a virgin girl. But don't you know that there's so many other things that occurred to get us to the point of Jesus's birth? Now, we grew up and many of us were involved in plays where we knew about the shepherds. We knew about the wise men, man. We knew about all those things, the angelic beings. But there's a story behind every story. And I'm here to let you know, watch this now, that all of us, watch this, wherever you are in whatever phase of life you're experiencing right now, you are part of God's ultimate story. In other words, God is meticulously working out things for your good. He's causing some delays in some areas. He's causing some victories in some areas. He's allowing sickness to take place in some areas. He's allowing healing to take place in some areas. But whatever he is doing, what you got to begin to realize is there's always a coming soon with God. Amen. God is going to break forth. Amen. He's going to do things in our lives that we've never seen before. But sometimes we can get discouraged, but we need to be encouraged, recognizing, God, I'm part of your story, God. What you're doing, Lord God, is far bigger than me. See, sometimes we get so focused on us that we miss the greater picture of what God is wanting to do in our lives. And instead of crying, Lord, why me, why me? We need to say, why not me, God? Go ahead and use me, God. Have you ever been there before? Where it seemed like nothing was working out and you got frustrated and you were serving God with all your heart, but it didn't seem like he was hearing your prayer. What do you do when you prayed and you cried out to God and it seems like nothing is happening? Nobody's listening to you. Nobody can give you the counsel or advice that you need to hear. It seems like you're all alone. Man, we find this in our passage of scripture today, a beautiful couple of God who had an awesome reputation, not only in the community, but they had an awesome reputation before God. And what you got to begin to understand is Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were godly people who were going through a very tough situation. There are four things I want to give you today, and I want you to pay attention to this writer, Luke. Now, remember, Luke, one of the gospel writers, Luke is the only Gentile writer in our New Testament. In fact, Luke is a physician. You can put this in your margin and go back and read it, but in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible tells us that Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings. This is what Paul is writing to the church of Galatia. He said he is a physician. He was a physician, but not only was he a physician, but he was a historian. Because of his doctorate background, he could dissect and write things right down to the T. He could divide that Greek language up in such a fashion where you could begin to understand it. That's why most people say that one of the most prolific gospels ever written was Luke. Because he was a doctor, he could go down with the details, and he had a heart to write about Jesus. And he gives us the perspective of Jesus from the Son of Man. This is primarily what he talks about. He gives us the heart of Jesus. Here we find the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan. We find that in the book of Luke, and he gives us a picture of Jesus and how he cared for all people. In fact, 27% of the New Testament is written by Luke. Do you know that he wrote the book of Acts too? That Acts is just a continuation of the book of Luke. You can put a comma in Luke and jump over there to Acts, and it continues on like it was. So he was prolific, and he gives us over 27% of the New Testament, and he's the one who goes into a greater detail about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in terms of what even happened before he came on the scene as a man. It's beautiful, people, and he gives us the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the Good Samaritan. But here he begins to write this letter, and he's letting us know about this beautiful couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now, my first point is this, because this is what I want you to understand, is challenges till the ground for change. Challenges till the ground for change. How many of you right now are going through a challenge? All right. Somebody ain't raising a hand. That's okay. The Lord knows what's going on in your heart. All right. But listen, if you're going through a challenge right now, you need to understand that what the challenge is going to do is it's going to till the heart of your ground for change. Amen. We desire change, and so does God. That's why he always has before us coming soon, because where you are is not where you're always going to be, because God's call is always an upward call. So now we find, watch this now, the pages of the Bible have flipped. The last book of the Old Testament, the last prophet to speak in the Old Testament was Malachi. And Malachi spoke, and then God shut up the book for 400 years. It's called the intertestamental period, where there's 400 years of silence, where God doesn't say anything at all. And when God doesn't say anything, ain't nothing need to be said. But think about this. See, we struggle. Watch this now. We struggle sometimes with silence. Imagine 400 years where God hadn't said anything. What do you do? Coming soon. God is so powerful that he can come in to history anytime that he wants and create a new story that never existed before. This is the power that he has in our life, is wherever you are right now, if you give him permission to come in to till the ground of your heart, to allow you to process through hurtful situations, to stop looking for things in the natural and start looking for things in the spiritual, when you allow him to come in, he will do great and mighty exploits that will blow your mind. He can do the exceedingly and abundantly, more than we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. But we got to give him permission. Lord, come in and do what you need to do. The condition of the land was dire. There was a man by the name of Herod in charge. Let me say this, and please understand, God didn't call me to ride the backs of donkeys and elephants, but he did call me to carry the cross. All right. So as I say this, I'm carrying the cross. Watch this now. There is never going to be any political leader ever to exist in this world that can trump what God can do for you. That's got to be your mindset as a believer, because it's amazing to me. Sometimes we get so frail and frantic. Wait a minute now. Is Jesus still on the throne? Is Jesus still in charge? Do you know how many dangers towards the stairs, man, we've overcome? I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. So don't get it twisted. Whatever goes on in the world, we have one who sits high and looks low, man. And he's always letting you know, coming soon, coming soon, coming soon. He's letting us know, hey, coming soon, I'm coming soon. But Herod the Great, now this was a very wicked man. In fact, it's believed that his stature was less than 5 feet. Okay, I mention that because he had some kind of something going on, man. Because he had some kind of syndrome where he felt deficient in one area, but because he was put in charge by the Romans, he felt as though that he could run the area like he wanted to. So this is the Herod. Watch this now. This is the same Herod that had his own wife killed because he was concerned about his position. And when they gave birth to a son, he was so concerned about that he killed his wife. The wife's mother had something to say about it. He had her killed. This is history, people. You can find this in history, how this Herod the Great, that was his name, Herod the Great, and he was mentioned for being great because he put together great building projects. Man, he could build anything. And you go over to Israel to this day, there's still things that are standing that he's built, and people are scratching their heads wondering how he was able to do that with the tools that were accessible back then. He was a great builder, thus his name, Herod the Great. He would kill folks. He had a complex about him where he would kill all his three sons. All of them they killed because he did not want them to inherit his throne. This is the same Herod that you read about in the Bible when he found out that there was another king in the land. Remember that? He found out the wise man came and said, hey, we coming to worship the king. He said, wait a minute, tell me about this king. I want to go worship him too. And he says, come back and let me know what you find out. And them wise men were wise, man. They said, we ain't going back to that king. The angel of the Lord came to them, and they went the other way. This wicked king, every baby under the age of 2 in the area he had killed. King Herod. Wicked. Somebody say wicked. Wicked, wicked. But what he didn't know is that he was just a part of the story. He wasn't the author of the story. See, you need to remind yourself of that when you go through situations when people try to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. Hey, you're just a character in the play. You're not the playwriter. Okay? You need to let them know that, hey, whatever you need to do, go ahead and do it, because God has caused all things to work together for good in accordance to what I'm going through. And we find this in the life of Zacharias and Elizabeth, because they were under this rule of Herod. There had been 400 years before since the Lord had said anything, so it was a very parched and dry ground. There was nothing happening. Am I talking to anybody where it seems like, man, there's nothing? Nothing is happening, God. Man, be patient, because God's not through. He's coming coming soon. He's coming soon. The Bible says here in verse 5, it says, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias and of the divisions of Abijah, and he had a wife. Here's their biography, y'all, from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both, watch this, they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the requirements. See, your obedience and faithfulness, let me say this, your obedience and faithfulness to the Lord is preparing the soil of your heart for harvest that you cannot see yet. When you're in a quandary, when it seems like nothing is working out, one thing you cannot afford to stop doing is being obedient to what God has called you to do. Never eject from what God has called you to do. It may be tough, it may be hard. The Bible says here that they were blameless. Now that word means that they were not sinless, but when they found themselves in sin, they knew to go to God and ask for forgiveness. Okay? How many of you know that God knows everything? All right? You may look blameless before people, but the question is, are you blameless before God? Because at the end of the day, you're going to have to stand before him and give a report. You can fool us, but can you fool God? No, you can't fool God. But you cannot afford to pull away from being obedient to God regardless of what you're going through. Somebody say, you got to go through. Amen. You're built for the shift, man. You're built to go through the valley of the shadow of death. And you fear no evil. Why? Because, man, wait a minute. God is with me. And Elizabeth and Zacharias, they understood that God was with them even in their season of barrenness. Now, this is important because they were older in age now, believed to be around 60s or so, and they had basically given up on what they desired to have. They wanted a child. That was one of their desires. Have you ever been walking life so long and that thing that you wanted to happen just is not happening? It's just, man, my healing is not happening as quickly as I want it to. My situation is not changing as quickly as I wanted it to. And they experienced the same thing, but they kept their eyes on God. They said, I'm going to stay focused on you, God, regardless of who it separates me from, however crazy it makes me look. I got to go with you, God. And I don't know about you, people of God, but you got to get to a point in life where you got to go with God, man. No. I hear what you're saying. I know what you're telling me to do, but I know that I'm in right relationship with God because he is still talking. I can hear him. I can still see the coming soon. See, some people try to, man, you still waiting on that movie? That movie ain't came out yet. They said it was going to come out on the 28th, and here it is. It ain't even, and you just, hey, no, my movie is still under production. The director is still working. You be patient and wait on the Lord. Amen. Don't let other people direct what God is doing in your life. They'll mess it up. But notice what it says here, because their challenge was, even though they were God-honoring folks, they had a challenge. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. So she couldn't have children because she was barren. And number two, she was advanced in years. She was old. She was too old to have children. See, what I love about God is regardless of what the natural conditions say, he will come in and do the supernatural. You have to leave room. Watch this now. As a believer, and this is what I love about this time of year, this because there's so many supernatural events that took place to bring Jesus on the scene that we can't discount it. Put this in your margin in Psalms 118, verse 1, because you need to understand that, man, even challenges when they come, I need to give God thanks. I need to stay focused on what he's doing and who he is. In Psalms 118, verse 1, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is how long? How long? His loving kindness is everlasting, meaning that there's no situation that can outlast the love that God has for you. Put this in your margin, too, because you got to understand when God promises you something that he will fulfill his promise. 2 Peter verses 3 through 9. Y'all know this. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. Y'all know this. It says the Lord, watch this, is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. See, God is a God of his promises. Has God fulfilled a promise for you in your life? Amen. Is he working it out even right now for your good? Amen. Does anybody know God is a promise keeper in this place today? God will never go back on his word. What he has says out of his mouth, it will not return unto us void. It will accomplish what it was sent out to do. This is the exciting thing about our God, man. See, I get excited when God said it. When you come up to me and you show me something that God said, I'm like, yeah, I'm in agreement in the name of Jesus. I'm coming in agreement with you. But if you come to me what he or she said, I'm like, okay. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But see, names were significant in the biblical times, and they are today. And I always caution us to be careful, even if you are a participant in naming a child, make sure you give that child a name that means something. All right, well, make sure they can pronounce it, number one. And then number two, make sure it's something that can mean something. But somebody know what I'm talking about, right? But the name Zacharias, it watch this. The name Zacharias, it means the Lord remembers. The Lord remembers. And see, the Lord remembers. The Lord doesn't forget. He's not man that he should lie, but he remembers what he said to you. He remembers what his promise was to you. And then he combines Zacharias with a woman by the name of Elizabeth. And her name means God's promise. God's promise. So they're in a barren situation, but somebody say, the name will make the difference. Watch this. The name will make the difference. See, the name would make a difference. They had names that reminded God even of his promises. So when she called Zacharias, what she was saying, the Lord remembers. And when he called Elizabeth, what he was saying, God promises. The Lord remembers. God promises. The Lord remembers. God promises. And that was their saturated in their house all the way up until this particular point. So now Zacharias, he's getting ready to go into a priestly duty that he was called to do. So if number one is we want to allow the challenges to till the ground for change, then number two, what we got to understand is God delays are not denials. God delays are not denials. Anybody in here waiting on God for something? All right. Here's the good news if you're waiting on God. Now, if you're waiting on people, I can't help you. But if you're waiting on God, the Bible tells me that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. If you're waiting on the Lord, continue to wait, because coming soon is about to manifest in your life. But you just got to continue waiting for him to have his perfect way in your life. He's lining it up for your good. You wanted it then, but God said, no, I had to hold it back, because if I gave it to you then, you would have wasted it all. See, God got to protect us from us, man, because we'll mess up something. We got to learn to thank God. God, I thank you for the delay. I know I wanted it then, Lord God, but I thank you, Lord, for closing the door that only you could open, God. And there was a period of time, Elizabeth and Zacharias, we waited all our life for this. God, we've been faithful to you. We serve you with all our heart, Lord God. We live blamelessly before you. But nothing's happening, God. See, delay is not denial. Thank God for the yield sign, man. Thank God for yielding our desires of our heart was to go and do it. But God says, hold your peace. The desire of you was to go and let somebody know, to give them a piece of your mind. But God said, if you had done that, you would have ruined your witness. That's why I held you back and I showed you how I fixed the situation. Somebody know what I'm talking about. But God's delays are not denials. See, the kingdom of God, watch this now. God operates on a kingdom watch and not an Apple Watch. We're so busy worried about chronological time, and God is operating in the Kairos, where he begins to arrange time in such a fashion where it's the right person at the right time in the right place for the right manifestation to come down. All right? I like Apple Watches, but Apple Watches ain't got nothing on what God watch says. Okay? All right? God, what does your watch say? And God says, when the fullness of time came, I'm arranging things because there's one coming that I'm setting the red carpet and I'm laying it out for. And I'm using the ones who are not high and mighty and got it all together. I'm going down to the barren ones and I'm pulling them up so they can be used of me. See, God will do things in your life. Watch this. He'll bring you to a place. And watch this. For some of us, man, it's uncomfortable. It's very uninviting. But he gets you to a place where you know and everybody else will know. Only nobody could do that but God. Because if he did it for you, you would take all the credit. Look what I know. You ain't did nothing, man. You know God did that. Okay. And I thank God, man. The Bible said, let patience have her perfect work. God, work this thing out. I'm going to be patient in the process. Lord, you while I'm praying for you to fix their heart, fix my heart, God. Because their heart might not get fixed, but you'll give me the grace that I need, Lord God, to persevere and to represent you wherever I go. Is there a witness in the house today? So worried about what other folk, what about you? You need to go through the valley. You need to be transformed. Show that God is in you. Not just when everything's going well, but what about when things are challenging? See, a no or not yet in our lives might simply be God holding the answer until the perfect time. God, why can't I get this job right now? Not the perfect time. God, I want to get married. Why can't I? It's not time. But God. And God says, I know. Just trust me. Don't lean to your own understanding. Because my timing is going to be perfect. See, God says, when I do it, you're not going to have to do it again. It's going to be a one and done. it's going to be a one and done. And it's going to open up, watch this, opportunities that are far greater than you. See, we got to get outside ourselves, man. The biggest problem is not realizing that we're the biggest problem. You get out of God's way and be used of God to usher in things that you never thought could happen. There are people who are connected to you, and it's based on how your obedience is to God. And Zacharias and Elizabeth, they found this out. Watch this now, because they were barren. But watch in verse 8 here of Luke chapter 1. It says, now it happened. Watch this. Now it happened. Somebody say, now it happened. Why didn't it happen before? He says, now it happened. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God, in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Let me stop there just for 1 minute. So he was a priest. And it was believed to be 18,000 priests in this area at this particular time. And one of the duties of the priests was to go in and tend to the things as it related to the temple. So you remember this. We did a teaching on this before. But the priests would be in charge. They would support the high priest. And they would be in charge of such things as the brazen altar. Back in those days when you sin, you had to bring a animal spotless to the brazen altar to be sacrificed. Blood was shed. Once that blood was shed, it gave you entry into the temple because the goal was to get to the holiest of holiest. So then you would go to the lever and you would see a reflection of yourself and you would clean yourself as a result of that. Then you would go to the showbread where there was the menorah and there was bread. And then you would go to what's called the altar of incense. And the altar of incense were sent up incense, a sweet smelling fragrance to God. And it was sent on behalf of the priest and representative of the people. So the priest would send this up, and he would go into a time of prayer as well. So this was his responsibility at this particular time. Now, what's very unique about this is this only happened for a priest maybe once in a lifetime. Maybe once in a lifetime. He was of the environment of Abijah. And if you go back and read First Chronicles, you'll find that they were the eighth priestly order out of 24. And it was the eighth priestly order out of 24 now to come forth and offer incense before the Lord. Now, I love biblical numerology. Amen. That's why I don't play the numbers, because we got enough numbers in the Bible to get me where I need to get. Amen. And the number eight, according to my Bible, is the number of new beginning. And God was about to do something new, and he had chosen Zacharias, that priest, to usher up, because it had been done before, but this time was going to be different. And one reason it was going to be different is because God was now about to speak. Watch this now. In verse 10, notice what it says. Oh, I don't want to leave this out in verse 10. While he was doing this, watch this now. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. Do y'all see prayer there? What were the people doing? Gossiping. Complaining about what's going on. What were they doing? They were praying, right time, right person, right place. As those incense were going up, the people were praying. Man, what would happen if we got serious about prayer in this church? If we got serious in every church that's open in the name of Jesus, and we came to a place and we say, no, we're not trying to strategize. We're going to get on our knees and we're going to believe God for the results. I'm telling you, man, don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. God left us a promise, man, that my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Pray. You got to pray. Seek his face. You better be turning from your wicked ways. You can't come to God wicked. Your prayers they don't even hit the ceiling. I ain't got time to go in that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. You can go read it in your time. Amen. But as a husband, our prayers are hindered. Let me keep this moving, because I'm getting over in another lane over here. Verse 11. Watch this now. So it's the right time. It's the right place. It's the right purpose. Notice what happens. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right of the altar of incense. I love how Luke lays this things out. He says he's on the right side, man. All right. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, for fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. Man, isn't God awesome? See how he's setting this thing up? He said, at the right time, at the right place, at the right purpose. See, it's barren right now. But when you get in the right place with the right purpose at the right time, and you got people praying, man, God's going to show you great and mighty exploits that you don't even understand. But it was an invitation that was set for the angel, an angel of the Lord, to come and to be in the presence of humankind. Wait a minute. Wasn't it just 400 years of silence? Wait a minute, wasn't this situation such where they're barren and they can't bear anything? But God said, I got something to say about it. See, God has the last word, regardless of whether you know it or not. He's got the first and the last word. That's why he's the Alpha and the Omega, right? That's why he's the beginning and the end. And the angel of the Lord, an angel of the Lord, comes on the scene and gives him a good report. Anybody need a good report from the Lord? Lord, I need a good report, Lord God. I need you to remind me of what you said in your word. He says, you know what? I know y'all been praying a long time. And now I'm here to give you good news. And that's what angels do. Angels are ministering spirits. Angels, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, in fact, be careful how you treat people in terms of showing hospitality towards them, because you might be entertaining an angel unawares. Some of us, I don't know how many angels we done ran off. Amen. I ain't got time for you. No, you can't get them. Wait a minute now. Hey, you going to get to heaven, man. And God said, that was me trying to get your attention. But God uses angels who are ministering spirits. And the name of this angel we'll see here in a few minutes, but this was Gabriel. And we see Gabriel mentioned oftentimes in the birth as the angel did not only go to Elizabeth, but also went to Mary. Amen. He came with a message. And anytime an angel came on the scene, yeah, man, you'll be fearful because sometimes when they came to kill. Remember, they came to kill, man. They came to that prophet Balaam, man. He was beating that old donkey. And because that donkey saw something that he couldn't see. And that's a shame when a donkey can see something. I beg to ask the question, who's the real donkey in that situation? Okay. All right. Let me keep it moving. All right. All right. But he saw something, an angel who had the sword drawn, ready to take him out. Ready to take him out, man. If it had not been for that donkey, Balaam would have been gone. You know, but angels, they come and they come with a serious message. We made angels into something that they're not. Not no potbelly wing creature. Wait a minute. What they call them? Cupid. No. Those are not angels, man. No. We made that into something that is not. But God has created the angelic system to interface with us in the earth. And you're assigned an angel, man. It's going to be amazing when we can peek back our eyes and we can begin to see, wow, God, it was angels that you had protecting us. Remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Remember the great man of God? It was Elisha. And Elisha, watch this now. He shows us the attitude as it relates to things when we find ourselves even in danger. His servant came and he saw things in the natural of what was going on. There was armies from the north, it was armies from the south, from the east, and from the west. And he was concerned, and he went to pull on the coattail of his man of God, and he says, hey, we're not going to make it. Do you see what's going on? And Elisha was standing there very calm, and he simply said, Lord, open his eyes. Pull back his eyes so that he can see what I can see. And when he did that, man, what he saw was chariots of angels warring and fighting the battle in the spirit. See, that's the God that we serve. Amen. We live above sea level, man. I got to see what you see, Lord God, because I want to operate in what's coming soon. I want to operate in what's coming soon. But he gives this message to this man, and he says, you know what? I don't want you to be afraid, Zacharias, for our petition has been heard. Your petition has been heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. John, grace. Put this in your margin in Luke chapter 7, verse 28, because this is what Luke leaves for us in verse 7, 28. He says, I say to you, among those born of woman, there is no one greater than John. No one greater. Somebody say, no one greater. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So wait a minute. The delay was for such a time as this. The delay was so that you could bring into the world a son who would be the Messiah's forerunner. And that's why you had to endure, because I was working out things behind the scene, and it had to be perfect timing for him to come into the world. And Jesus said that in Luke 7, 28. He says, man, everybody who's been born of woman, there's been none greater than John the Baptist. Then he qualifies. He says, but if you've been born again unto me, you're greater than him. He valued John the Baptist, and Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were bringing him into the world. Watch this now, verse 14 of Luke chapter 1. You will have joy and gladness, the angel still speaking, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Now notice that, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Man, I love that. He says, you know what? He's coming in the spirit and the power of Elijah. That's found in the book of Malachi, the last book of Malachi, chapter 4. He's pulling that forward, and it's being fulfilled. This is what was spoken of. This is the fulfillment of that. The one who will be the forerunner, who will go forth in the spirit of Elijah, is John the Baptist. And he's going to pave the way for Jesus. See, John knew his lane, man. John, and we'll get into him much later in the series, but John the Baptist knew his lane. He didn't try to fulfill a position that wasn't designated for him. I like to say he came in representation of the Lord and not substitution of the Lord. And you can find yourself in a much better condition when you learn to go in representation of the Lord and not substitution of the Lord. You're not the Lord. Don't let other people think that you're their Lord. No, you go in representation of him, pointing to him for others to see. You can't come up and say, well, you know, no, you don't know what the Lord knows. The third thing is this, and we're almost through. We talked a little bit about this. It's okay to be silent and just listen. It's okay. Somebody say, it's okay. It's okay to be silent and just listen. Notice this. In verse 18, Zechariah said to the angel, why are you even saying, what you gonna say, man? Watch what he says. How will I know this for certain? Somebody say, doubt. For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. He would have done better just not saying anything at all. Verse 19, watch this. The angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent. I'm going to tell you how you're going to know. I'm going to shut you up for a little bit. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. He says, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. And you're doubting the message that God has sent me to give you after 400 years of silence, regardless of your condition. You're down. I'll tell you how your mouth going to be shut until this baby going to be born. And see, Zacharias, he went in one way, and because he didn't handle the situation right, he came out another way. He went in speaking, but he came out. And the people, they were like, man, what in the world happened in there? And then he goes, let me pick this up. And then he finishes serving, and then he goes home to Elizabeth. He can't talk. And I imagine he's writing down, and Elizabeth's looking at that. Something else didn't happen to you. You talking about we going to have a baby? What's up? You all right? What happened in there? What happened in there? But see, man, God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. It looked foolish to us, man, that are looking out on the outside, but God knew exactly what he was doing, when he was going to do it, and how he was going to do it. And man, whatever happened, it happened because she was with child. God said, I don't care about your age. I gave you a promise, and I'm going to fulfill that promise. I'm talking to somebody now. Your life ain't over, man. It's just beginning. I don't know how old you are, but God doesn't work on that clock, man. He works on the spiritual clock. And you'll be like Caleb, man. You'll be 80 years old, ready to go to war and take on everybody that's in the way. Don't let the world tell you that you're too old, man. No, you're just getting started. People be trying to get your age in dog years. I ain't no dog, man. I'm a child of the king. But the people were wondering, man, and he's writing that. The last thing I'm going to leave you with, because I got to get out your way today. The last thing. The last thing I want to give you, because you got to know what. Number one, we're teaching, right? Challenges till the ground for change. If you're in a challenge right now, know that your heart is being prepared for change. God's delays are not denials. Man, it's a delay. Anybody, true story, man. Impatient at a stoplight. This stop, what in the world? It's taking too long. Look around, don't see no police. I'm pulling out. But just as you pull out, here comes a car out of nowhere that you didn't know was there. Somebody say, be patient. Why they got a yield sign here? I ain't finna yield. Oh, okay. You better yield. And you better yield when the Lord says what he says. But it's okay to be silent and just listen. Zacharias, that didn't deserve a response except if, unless you were going to say, thank you, Lord. I understand, Lord. I'm obedient, Lord. Some of us are in conversation with God, and God never asked you to be in conversation. He said, I need you to just step out by faith and obey what I told you to do. That's what faith is, the substance of things hoped for. Man, I can't see it, but I'm going to step out. Man, when you step out in faith, there are things, watch, in the faith realm that are awaiting you, but it takes obedience. All right? You believe it's coming soon, but you got to step out and receive it for yourself. See, the revelation of the difference is this. When we think about coming soon, see, God is, watch this. Now, understand what I'm saying. God is bigger than meeting what your next meal requirement is. God is bigger than your power bill. See, we limit God sometimes, and we limit the coming soon to those things. And God says, I need you to get a bigger vision of who I am so that I can get you in a position so that you can begin to provide groceries for somebody who need it, so that you can begin to get to be a giver to those who need things. It's a bigger vision than what we mean it, than what we make it to be. God wants to do greater. Somebody say greater. The fourth thing is this. Your story is ultimately for his glory. Don't you know that? The pain that you experience, the disappointment, the people talking about you, the sickness, the loss of job, God is ultimately using that for his glory. Verse 23 says this, when the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, this is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men. It was a disgrace in that time when you could not bear a child. They put all their stock on whether a woman could have a child or not. And that was a sad commentary because they defined people's identity based on their system to produce a child. And they missed the mark because God is far bigger than that. And see, people get it twisted because when we think about barrenness, you can be barren in your finances. You can be barren in your relationships. You can be barren in how you treat other people. You can be barren in many other areas. And what God is wanting to do is come in and make all things new. And this is what he did for this beautiful couple, people. And this, see, this was just the start. This is the back. Before we even get to the manger, man, all the God was orchestrating all this. I'm going to kill this 400 years of silence. I'm going to send Gabriel, and I'm going to allow a barren family to bring in what Jesus called the greatest man born of women. What is your barren situation? What are you carrying that you shouldn't be carrying any longer? What is God asking you to surrender in exchange for what he wants to give you? Lord, I've been carrying this for years. It's impacted my life, God. Now I need to lay it down in exchange for what you have. Now know that you have far greater than even what I imagine and think in my mind. Somebody says, how do you do that? John the Baptist came to pave the way. He rolled out the red carpet for for Jesus. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. When we surrender our lives totally to Jesus, when we say, Lord, I'm no longer under my control or the control of others. See, sometimes the problem is we are in pleasing mode when we should be pleasing one. Stop trying to please. You ain't going to please everybody. I can tell you that right now. I don't care how nice you are. All right. Somebody going to find something. But man, you got to be in the business of pleasing one. I don't like them. I ain't ask you anyway what you like. But it's a surrender. It's giving your life to the Lord. Lord, here I am, Lord. I've been doing my own thing for so many years. Man, you get tired. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Tired, weary. But man, when you make the great exchange and you surrender your life to him, what'll always be before you is coming soon. And you'll wake up every morning. You'll say, man, what's coming today? I'm not feeling the best, but Lord, I know you got something in store. Lord, I know what happened yesterday, but today is a new day where I get to experience your new mercies coming soon. Oh man, we thank God for Jesus in this place today. Go ahead and give him a praise. Hallelujah. Give him a praise for your coming soon. Give him a praise for your coming soon. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you today. Lord, we thank you for the authority of your word. We thank you for the narratives of your scripture. Lord, it's not only relevant in faith, but it's historical document. Where if we want to argue with this, Lord God, it would be like arguing whether George Washington was the first president, Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president. Lord, we have historical evidence of a man named Jesus who came by way of virgin birth, who at age 12 told his parents, I must be about my father's business. Talk back to him, Lord. And then, Lord, you allowed him to live for 33 years. 3-year ministry that radically changed the world. 12 disciples, one of them being even a devil. Lord, thank you for the greatest gift that we could ever receive. It's the gift of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we desire that no one go without this great gift, because when this gift is received, it opens doors that no man can shut. When he is received into our heart, old things have passed away, all things become new. We thank you for him today. So we love you, we bless you. Thank you for the coming soon for somebody in this church, Lord. I thank you right now. Coming soon. If they're waiting for a breakthrough, coming soon.
Thank you for joining us today here on the New Generation Church Podcast. If you have questions regarding your faith in Jesus Christ, please visit our website at www.newgc.org/following-jesus. Be sure to watch on YouTube or subscribe to listen on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. For additional information on New Generation Church, please visit our website at www.newgc.org. If you would like to give to this ministry, please text the word GIVE to 251-278-2225, or you can mail your gift to 1350 Cody Road, North Mobile, Alabama, 36608. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you real good is our prayer.